South Sudan could become a United Nations member state quickly after seceding from the North. That's according to a timetable presented by the UN Security Council's president this week ahead of this Saturday's formal secession of the South from the North. Although secession is being billed as the culmination of a peace process, fighting nevertheless continues in disputed regions. Philippa Hitchin spoke with Father Joseph Marius, a religious priest who is originally from Juba and who has worked in the disputed Nuba Mountains.
And Nuba Mountains is a very beautiful place to live in. And for sure, there is a lot of oil reserve in this area too. And it is also the cause of the conflict. And if the poor indigenous people of the Nubas are suffering, just undergoing all this, maybe fighting and all this sort of thing, it's just because of these resources, and which maybe the ruling party might not allow to go to another hand in a way. And this is the cause of the conflict, actually. And also, apart from that, of course, the Nubas have their grievances too. In a way, they have been marginalized also for so long in terms of the necessary or basic necessities in human life. So because of this reason, they are not also happy. They would like the central government actually to see into their grievances. But of course, it is not easy for the government or central government to say, yes, we are going to look at your grievances or into that whatever you are asking for. And it has been for a long time, so that's why the people rose up in rebellion, sort of, yes.
What is the standard of living there? How difficult is life for people there today?
Up to this moment, of course, life there is difficult because even people don't have water to drink at a certain time. And until the Diocese of El Obeid in Nuba Mountains area, which was under Bishop Makram Max, even during the time of wars, difficulties, he was the one who started drilling bore holes for them. Then eventually the people are now at least having clean water to drink from these bore holes, which have been drilled within the time of war there. Then when the peace agreement was signed in 2005, and more NGOs also came in order to help to drill more bore holes. And this has changed at least the life of the Nuba people. But unfortunately, again, now they have gone to square one, and there is already war going on. And it's unfortunate. I think also I am quite sure they are cut off from basic services, like maybe food, even you can mention whatever. I think I'm quite sure because no more communication and people are just in the state of war now.
You were working there in a parish. The church is very strong there, isn't it? Providing, in a sense, what the state is unable to provide.
Exactly. The church has been, in fact, closed with the people during the time of war because the movement was unable to provide the people with the basic necessity.
The movement, you mean the SPLA?
The SPLA, yeah. They were just they were, of course, fighting in order to liberate the people. So they were also living, according to their own capacity, they were unable to provide the people with the basic needs. And the church came to the to the aids of these people. And the church was able to help the Nuba people in terms of basic needs like clothing and soap and salt, which were not available during those years.
You had your own difficulties with the SPLA, didn't you? I understand you were imprisoned for a while.
Definitely, my difficulties was not actually with the SPLA. My difficulties was with the Sudan Army Forces, actually. That's when I was still in the school in Juba. And when they changed the education policy in 1991, and the students demonstrated actually, and this led to the close of schools and all this in Juba, and many students decided to move away, and they went on foot to the neighboring countries in order to pursue education. And of course, in course of this, many of them also lost their life, because walking all the way from South Sudan to neighboring countries, it was not easy. Many of them died because of hunger, lack of water on the way. And also many of them who practically enter maybe in the the ambush of the army, and they got killed. And I was among those who try also. So I got arrested with some group.
You were leaving Juba and heading to Uganda.
To Uganda. Yeah, walking. But unfortunately, we landed in the hands of the army, and they arrested us, and then many of us were imprisoned for 2 or 3 months, then eventually released and asked not to go out of Sudan again. And that was the difficulties I encountered. It was tough for me that moment, because I had to stay in prison, and then eventually I was asked not to move anywhere.
So you went back to Juba?
Yeah, I went back to Juba. In fact, we were even in prison in Juba, because we were brought from where they arrested us, and they brought us back to Juba, and then that's where we were in prison. We were released in Juba, and we were asked to remain in Juba.
What were conditions like there in the jail?
The condition was terrible. It was not easy. We were packed in a small room where over 30 people, just a small room. You sit and you don't sleep. Rather, you have nowhere to lay your head, actually, and it was very tough for us. Once you sit, you sit, and once you stand, you stand, because the room was so packed, and we lived there for so many days.
How did that affect you as you look back at your experience now and you look forward to this new nation there in South Sudan? How does that affect your views of the North, for example?
In fact, generally, for me, I'm very happy to see that the South becomes an independent country, because even we always say, if somebody is close to you and he knows you and he is like your brother and sister, this person always, in your suffering, he is always able to pity you. But the North and the South, we claim to be brothers and sisters, and many a time, because the country also is so vast, we see each other as brothers and sisters so long as we share the resources. But when it comes to maybe difficulties, say this person is said to be wrong, then this sense of brotherhood always goes away. This one see the other one as an not my brother, is an enemy. So he or she doesn't care of the suffering of the other one. So, and because of this, I would say the South really should go and try by itself as a country. I think in the South, people have many ethnic groups, but they are closely linked in a way, even because intermarriage is wise. They also intermarried, and they are closely linked. Then if this kind of suffering which I encounter were to be, if I was to be in the hands of the Southerners, I think they would have more pity on me than our brothers in the North.
So, you're studying Arabic,
yeah.
Islamic studies.
Yes.
Do you see yourself or the church as a whole as an important factor in trying to understand, to make peace, to reconcile after so many years of war and conflict?
Yes, for sure. I'm like a figure who would be like a, is like a bridge between the two. But I would say this, you know, this has been like so many years of struggle and maybe hatred and all sort of thing. And it is always good if now the two cannot understand each other, it is better to part. But not to part really to say, okay, I have to go and make my own home. I don't want you to come to this home. No. I think I would say it's good that the two should separate. But they should remain as brothers and sisters because they share the common border. And they have a lot to share in terms of even human resources, in terms of other resources too. And for me, this is very important because you, in this world, you cannot live in isolation.
So it's important to strengthen cooperation between the North and the New South.
Yes. Even in terms of economic wise or business wise, these two countries need really to work together. And they should forget the past and reconcile. Yeah.
Not easy, though, is it?
I know it's not easy, even for me, too, as an individual who has been probably tortured and all this sort of thing. But as a Christian and a priest, I'm able to forgive these people. And in fact, even that psychological suffering, trauma I had in the prison because of my nature of growing maybe in Christian family and also much more also becoming a priest, I try to overcome that trauma even by myself. Yeah.